VentureCast.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, you are about to listen to the most entertaining and informative wrestling podcast out there. That is not a prediction, it is a spoiler, and this is Kayfabe Critics. Welcome to Kayfabe Critics, our third annual WrestleMania edition show. I am your host, Michael Margangelo, joined alongside by Hollywood Rayshon Buchanan and Craig D'Alessandro peeking behind the microphone here. And again, this is our third annual show. We're going to go through the entire card, talk about the things, the matches that we're hoping to see, some of the matches that maybe we're not hoping to see. And then we'll take a stroll down memory lane with the worst WrestleMania matches of all time, because you can't have Missing the Point or Kayfabe Critics without a slight tinge of negativity. But before we get into the actual card, Ray, what's your overall feeling about this year's WrestleMania taking place from SoFi?
Well, I'm mad I'm not going to be there because, you know, I talked to you guys about me hopefully getting over there. But just for some things that have been happening outside of LA, I was just like, I didn't feel comfortable with going out there. But Philadelphia, we talked about this. We're going to be there. So we'll be there for WrestleMania 40 at Lincoln Financial Field. But no, just the overall feeling, man, I'm feeling great. I think this is one of the better cards that have been put together in a long time. You know, we talked to, you and I did a show when, you know, Vince retired, last summer, or not retired, but said, you know,
retired,
my air quotations, right? Was asked to step away, so to speak. We all know why, but Triple H taking over for creative has been one of the best things that's happened in a long time. And, you know, and ironically, he has done what's best for business. So I'm thankful that he's in charge right now. And yeah, I'm excited to see 95% of these matches. So like I said, we'll get into that, you know, as the show progresses.
All right, Gregory, how are you feeling overall about this year's WrestleMania?
Overall, I feel fine about it. You know, if you told me 5 or 6 years ago this would be the card we're getting, I'd be over the moon, like seeing Edge in a Hell in a Cell match and something like that. Just the fact that we get a Hell in a Cell match on WrestleMania is just like not a gimmick. It actually has a purpose, is good. But, you know, it's not the worst WrestleMania card. Let's just put it out there.
But that's good.
Yes, but it's a fine card. I think it's going, you know, this is one of the things that I'm happy about, that of all the things that happened during the pandemic, you know, the millions of people that died of everything, the most important thing that came out of it is that WrestleMania is now Jesus. Two nights.
Yes, you're right. That's the most important thing, Craig. You can edit yourself out of
it. Yeah, I sure will.
So I think I'm just going to jump right into it. It should be noted, though, we are recording this on Monday, March 27th. The full card has, there still could be some things added to it. So we're just going to go with what we have. And we don't know the order, but we do know the first match of WrestleMania Saturday, which will be the first match of the entire event, will be the 16-time world champion John Cena versus Austin Theory. So, Ray, how excited are you for this match, and who are you picking to win?
So I was pissed when I found out this was opening. I said, damn it, I'm not going to be there. Theory has grown on me, because last year at this time, and you probably can go back and check it, I was not a fan. I mean, it was cool to see him against Pat McAfee. Like, it was cool. We loved McAfee, and he was great in that match. But I was just like, yo, like, I'm not a fan. But in the year that has come, they have built him up properly. They've got rid of that damn selfie gimmick. And yeah, you know, he is the now. And I love what they've done with him. I love the slow build to what he's become. Like, he won me over at Survivor Series. I was like, yeah, this guy.
Oh yeah,
he's got it. Like, this is he's next up if they build him right. And listen, I mean, Cena. Like, he's going to deliver. Once again, you want to be the opener or you want to be the closer. You don't want to be match two or you don't want to be directly in the middle. So I think that match is going to deliver. I'm assuming Cena puts him over. I don't see. Like, unless he's going on another run, which I doubt at this moment, because, you know, Hollywood has been knocking at his door for a number of years now. So he is fully immersed in that culture. But yeah, I'm excited for that match. I think that's going to be a very, very good opener Might be the best one since 35 with Brock against Seth. So yeah, I'm going to deliver.
All right. So Craig, before I ask you your opinion on the match, and Ray, feel free to chime in after Craig does as well. I feel like when Raw was in Boston a couple of weeks ago, they had a real opportunity to let both people shine on the microphone. And it felt like, I was watching it, that it was just Cena telling everybody that nobody cares about Austin Theory. That why would he care about this match? I get it. I understand what they did, but it felt like Cena got the shine on the microphone. So, Craig, are you excited for this match? And who do you think is going to win?
I'm a lot more excited now than I would be, say, in October or so when he was still, or whenever he was doing that stupid selfie gimmick, like Ray was saying. I feel like in the last half of 2020 and so far in 2023, Austin Theory's got to be one of the top five superstars in WWE right now. That being said, I'm really excited for this. I'm not sure exactly what they call it, but this is Austin Theory's test. This is see if he's ready for the big time. This is see if he's ready for it. This is not a match they just give somebody. They don't just give you John Cena. So this is the, you know, and I think he's going to come right through it. I think that Vince McMahon being out of WWE for the time being that he was, it's the best thing that could have happened to him, because I saw him, I watched Austin Theory a lot down in NXT when he was with The Way, with Johnny Gargano, Dexter Lumis, Candice LeRae, and the Art Well and stuff like that. And he's pretty much got it all. He's funny. He's very funny if you saw him down in NXT. He's physical. He's a great wrestler. And he's actually pretty good on the mic when you let him be. So this is a good test for him. I think, you know, I'd be shocked if John Cena wins. I think this is always completely meant for Austin Theory to win. So it's looking pretty good for him. And things are going his way. I think it's going to be like a 20-25 minute match with Austin Theory coming out on top. So it's a big step for him. It's a big chance.
Everything that you just said, points where you said that everything's pointed in the direction of Austin Theory winning, makes me believe that John Cena is going to win this match.
Oh, that'd be great. Love a good swerve.
Right. Is Theory hurt if Cena goes over?
No, only because I would assume that means they're going to build a rivalry off that, and maybe they face each other at WrestleMania Backlash, or, you know, John goes off for a few months and then comes back for SummerSlam.
Well, remember, the title is on the line.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying. So I feel like if that does happen, like, I feel like it creates a new rivalry, you know, for the summer, and I think that would be awesome to see. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, I think they should put him over there. Like, we'll see, if you're looking to give him a WrestleMania moment, like, this is like, there's no bigger moment than defeating a guy that was a 16-time champ. It'd be dope to see Randy Orton come out and do something either after the match, you know, because time maybe to set that up, because we've been waiting to see who would be the, you know, I know Randy Orton's not 16-time, but, you know, obviously two best of that era, you know, you would think, okay, one last time, who was definitively the guy from this era? And, you know, he beats him to win the 17th championship. Like, that would be ideal for next year. So I'm long-term booking, you know, sign me up, baby, for that. But yeah, I think they do put him over, but it won't hurt him if he loses. I just think that it turns into, you know, a rivalry throughout the year.
Depends how fast he beats him too.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, if this is a 15 minute plus match, then I don't think booking wise there is a loser, but I do think I do think Cena's going to win, but I also think he's going to drop the belt the next night on Raw. Just because it's the Raw after WrestleMania, crazy shit happens. You never know what's going to happen.
You think he does that U.S. Open challenge again?
Maybe. And then someone that we haven't seen in a very long time comes back.
Big E comes out.
Which would be incredible.
Braun Breaker?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, I know he's due, you know, for a moment to come up too. Like, I know, you know, he's making ways down to NXT. So, I mean, yeah.
It's not like he's held gold for like the last year and a half or anything, but.
Or yeah. Like, you know what? Give me Darian Cross.
I guess Theory or against Cena.
Karrion Cross, yeah.
And Karrion Cross. If Cena wins, the next night he has the open challenge, Karrion Cross comes out and beats him.
Well, that's touching on something I want to touch on later, so I agree.
Oh, great. Awesome. Marcus, again, there's no particular order because we don't know the order yet. So I'm just going to go in the order and relevancy aside from that match because we do know that that's the first match. Next, we have a Fatal 4-Way Showcase with the Street Profits versus the Alpha Academy versus the Viking Raiders versus Ricochet and Braun Strowman. Between 1 and 10, Ray, how much do you care about this match and who's going to win?
So it's a three, but it's not the tag team. The people that's in the match, it's not their fault, right? Like, everyone, if you listen to our show after Money in the Bank last year, was it? I'm not sure. And I told him when I met Dawkins and Montez Ford at the Garden a few weeks ago before they did Raw. And I said, look, I said, fuck what the PWI says. I said, y'all had match of the year. Like, the match of the year y'all had against the Usos, that's the match of the year. They should have put y'all over. So Dawkins was laughing, like, you know, it was a business by them, man, damn the business. I said, y'all should have won. But it's all good. I love the Street Profits. Like, they have become, Usos is still my favorite, but besides them, like, the Street Profits are my favorite. I just wish they were in a more meaningful match. Like, I would love them to face the Usos for the tag team titles at WrestleMania. But I get why, listen, the storyline, we'll get into that in a minute. That's been beautiful. But yeah, I mean, listen, I like Ricochet and Braun Strowman as well, but it's just like, they just kind of got thrown together. So, I mean, it's just like, that's probably going to be on a kickoff show, and it'll be okay, but I don't know.
I think it's going to be on the main card.
That's bad, if that's the case. I just don't see, I don't know. To me, you said 1 out of 10, I'm giving that a 3, and once again, it's only because there's so many teams in it. Like, if it was maybe two of them going at it, like if it was just Street Profits versus Alpha Academy or Street Profits versus Ricochet and Braun, maybe. But like the Viking Raiders do nothing for me. They don't.
Really?
Yeah, they don't. I'm not wild anytime I see them. Like, it's like Street Profits, I'm here for. I even Alpha Academy's grown on me with the shush, please. Like they get the crowd into it. So I'm like, Chad Gable is a hell of a wrestler, a hell of a performer. Like I said, Otis is just comedic gold. So They do something for me, but I'm like, I don't know. I wouldn't have seen it. I don't like to see it all together, but who knows? Maybe I get surprised and it turns into a good match.
Greg? So let's not kid ourselves anything. They call this match
Fatal 4-Way Showcase.
That's exactly what it is. It's going to be a showcase mainly for Montez Ford for the entire thing. Look, I get what Ray said about the Viking Raiders. They don't do anything for him, and quite frankly, they don't do much for me. For the sole reason that they're trapped behind their gimmick. That's kind of what they are. You can't do anything with them besides that. But for the Street Profits, man, I can make a star in Montez Ford so easily. I could shoot him to the moon and he would probably hit it. Go back and watch that Elimination Chamber match. He was a star of that match.
Oh, yeah.
By far. Right. Braun Strowman and Ricochet, whatever. Ricochet's a phenomenal athlete. Alpha Academy, there's going to be a lot of Maximum Male Model shenanigans in there. I guarantee it. So
I love that, though. I love it.
It's entertaining. It's entertaining. It's supposed
so,
to be.
So good.
The highlights of this match are going to be when Montez Ford is in action. I guarantee it. I guarantee it right now. And he's going to have a huge, huge push heading into the next WrestleMania year. So we'll see what happens.
Did they split them up at some point?
What's that?
They split them up at some point?
Oh, yeah.
They have to.
They have to. I'm not saying Angelo Dawkins is bad.
He's not Marty Jannetty. I want to make that clear.
No, he's not
Marty Jannetty. So, like, I know people listen to, Angelo Dawkins to me can be maybe like a D'Lo Brown level.
I was going
to
say D'Lo.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this match could be one of those matches, you know, a year or two from now, we look back and say it had no reason to be good, and it was
yeah.
I think that we could see somewhere along the lines that it's a great show, it's a great match, and it's going to be a spot fest because every single person in this match, aside from Braun Strowman, has the athletic ability to do it.
I mean, his spots will be like running through people.
Yeah, he's going to be outside. Yeah. That train's going to be running outside
The next Fatal 4-Way Showcase is Raquel Rodriguez and Liv Morgan versus Shotzi and Natalya versus Ronda Rousey with a broken arm and Shayna Baszler versus TBD. Again, this is on Monday. So
it better be who I think it's going to be.
How bad How far has Ronda fallen if she's in a throwaway match like this, right?
Oh, I mean, she's under the ring at this moment. And once again, she sucks on the mic. If she showed...
So wild, because she was awesome on the mic in UFC.
Right. But I mean, which is great. I mean, maybe because it wasn't scripted in that, as far as what you're going to say, you know what you're going to say. Maybe Triple H pulls off the reins in that regard and just says, okay, like, you can say this, obviously, within parameters, obviously, and just get back to that, because she should be Brock level. She should be. She should be the female Brock. Like, you should be, she should be an attraction.
She was for a little bit.
Yeah, she was. In 2018, yeah, right. Sure, out there. Like, she was great. Like, I remember that match against Alexa Bliss. Like, that was awesome. So, yeah, she should be on a level, but for whatever reason, it just hasn't translated. And then, like, I don't know, maybe, I don't know if she really believes the character yet, which is wild after 5 years. But, you know, you would think at some point, you know, that would change.
Does she need an advocate? Oh, yeah.
I mean, maybe, because once again, I mean, we talked about what it did for Reigns and what it's done for Punk and what it did for, hell, even what it did for Curtis Axel back in the day. Like, even he was relevant for a year under the Axelmania, you know, gimmick. So, yeah, maybe that's the case. Maybe Paul gets with her and says, okay, you know, going from head of the table to, you know, to Ronda Rousey, the baddest woman on the planet, like that would be great. That would be great.
I don't think it necessarily needs to be Paul.
No, no. I'm saying, yeah, just one of those. I mean, I don't know who would be, you know, to come in. Like, who was the, well, I didn't really hear him talk, but what was the guy that was with AOP? Oh, God.
Oh, you might see him back. That was, I know exactly.
Paul Aaron?
Paul Aaron.
Yeah, I didn't go, yeah, yeah, him. Maybe someone like that. I don't know. But I'm like, he was great for AOP.
I think you might see that. Another story from another day, but I think you might see that back very soon.
Yeah. Wow. That needs to happen. But as far as the TBD, and once again, this is totally wishful thinking, but what a fucking swerve it would be if it was Sasha and Naomi coming back as that fourth team. That's why I said at the beginning, when you said TBD, I'm like, it better not be who I think it is. Like, don't play with my emotions, Triple H. Like, it was going to be Sasha and Naomi, like, just like when I was there when the Hardy Boys came back, when New Day came out and said, and that music dropped, like, I almost fell over the railing. When the Hardy Boy was just, so I'm telling you, I will fall off my couch if I hear dun 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 dun, dun. Like I'll fall off my couch, like, yep. crazy.
That instantly makes it a non.
I love me and Mike Red Banners.
Instantly makes it a non throwaway match, but that would be amazing, absolutely amazing. Yeah. So I'm taking Raquel Rodriguez and Liv Morgan to go over in this, as long as it's not Sasha and Naomi. If it's them, then they're going over.
Right. Over Raquel. What I saw her do at the Dusty Road Classic as a tag team, I was like, she's next. Like, she's next if they build that right as well. And like I said, I love the in-ring ability. Once again, you know, still has to work on the promo stuff, but once again, that can be worked upon. But yeah, like, she's a beast. She's a beast. And it's fitting that she's with Braun Strowman in real life. I don't know if that's still a thing, but she was with him. Because I'm just like, she works out. Like, she's a super built. So, yeah, I love that character. I was like, yeah, like, she pops through the screen. If she has any charisma to go with how powerful she is, like, game over.
Yep. Yep. From one quote-unquote beast to another, we have Brock Lesnar versus Omos. Hmm. Oh, my. So this match has been met with a lot of criticism. Yeah. So let me just start off by going first and saying that I think that this is, it has a chance to be a really good match. I hope Omos wins. I think that this is Brock's way to give back to the business and to put somebody else over. And Omos is, he has a natural factor, right? He's a good trash talker. He's fucking huge, absolutely huge. And it's been a long time since we've seen Brock be put in a position where he's going to be the little guy. And I think that it adds some intrigue to it to see if Brock can lift him, if he can dig him to Suplex City, if there is an F5. I hope it's not like a 5-minute throwaway match, but I think that this could be one of the things that actually sets Omos up for a lot of success. And to your point of, you know, Austin Theory and Cena, like, this is his test. You can either make it with Lesnar or you can't. I mean, everybody forgets Lesnar versus Dean Ambrose at WrestleMania because it was a terrible match. Let's not let this one be
not on my list, by the way.
That was 32, wasn't it? 32?
Bad. It was bad. Yeah, it was 32. So
I remember the match against Triple H, the pay-per-view before, more than.
Yeah, Roadblock. It was a great match.
Great, yeah.
Yeah, great match. All right, Craig. Omos versus Beast Incarnate.
Tell us how you really feel.
And, man, I can see this. If I had to put money, and you know you can now, Massachusetts.
Not on wrestling.
And maybe. I would say slam the under on the length of this match. I think this is going to be a total Brock Lesnar squash by Omos. Because Brock Lesnar is if you read the reports, he has no interest in this match. Besides, I think he was the one that bitched it. This is going to be match one of night two, and Brock Lesnar is going to get squashed and get back on his jet like he did last couple of WrestleManias. I see nothing in this match.
He has no interest in this match that he pitched it.
Right. Well, I think this is him, like you said, trying to get back to the business and trying to put somebody over. And how better can you put someone over than destroying Brock Lesnar?
Right. Yeah, I'm doing Survivor Series Goldberg type match.
Yeah.
Like that's the only way it would work. Like it can't be what he did with Roman Reigns last year. Like it's not going to be a 15 main event match. Even though I think there's more than Moss's arsenal, but we know how they limit big men in WWE, except for Taker. They did it with the Big Show. They did it Big Show, if you watch what he did in WCW early on, this dude, he could do drop kicks. He could do, you know, a lot of different things outside of the ring. So I feel like, Moss is in that mold of Big Show was. Well, as far as athleticism, you don't think so?
No.
Big Show was really athletic. More than people know. No, he's not on the level of Big Show, but I feel like there's more to his arsenal that we have seen. And I feel like what better stage to show all of that than WrestleMania? Like, it's different when you had you could latch on to AJ Styles. Excuse me, but that's no longer the case, obviously. So yeah, I think that, you know, we'll have a 2016 Survivor Series type match that Goldberg had against Brock Lesnar, where, you know, it was done in 90 seconds. And yeah, you hear, you know, MVP going crazy. Actually, it's funny. He'd be a good mouthpiece for Ronda too, if that was the case. But that's another. Yeah. That should be phenomenal. You think you can mess with the baddest bitch on the planet? You know, I'm coming. You know, that would be great. But yeah, let's see. Yeah, total squash match should be like, if it's more than 10 minutes, like I'm gonna throw popcorn at my TV.
10 minutes with entrances, right?
Yes.
Right. Exactly. Okay. All right, so again, this is where we get into a little bit of trouble because I firmly believe that every other match that we've talked about has the chance to steal the show and is pretty important. So, in no particular order, the EST of WWE versus Asuka, the Raw Women's Championship.
Yeah.
This is, people will look back and say this is a dream match that they never had. Because these two women can fucking go. And they better be given the time that they deserve. Mm-hmm. Because, like I said, like they can both wrestle. I hate the fact that this is an afterthought so far in the build-up. But, Asuka, I love you. I mean it. But the EST needs to win again. It is Bianca's time. And... Mm-hmm. I think you can always build Asuka back up, always. But she, I just love Bianca. I just believe her. Every time she's in the ring, whether it's a promo, even if it's not a great promo, I believe that she's into it and that she's being herself. So I think that this has a slight chance of being a match of the night on whatever night it's on. Ray, Asuka versus the EST, who you picking?
It's like, I'm on my own. I get you know how I feel about it. I've been on the train. You know, we were going back and forth with, you know, your team, Sasha. I'm like, listen, it's Bianca's time. So I love what she's been able to do. She's been on a phenomenal run. I hope that she reaches Charlotte level of hate. That means that she's made it. So that would be awesome. But I think we're still a long way from that because people still believe the character is fresh and he's been killing it. So yeah, I expect the quicker to suffer is the baddest, the strongest. Like she's awesome. So maybe they repay Asuka for what happened at WrestleMania 34. I know it was 5 years ago, but because I thought she should have went over against Charlotte then, but that's the whole other conversation then. So if you know that maybe they say, you know what, you've paid your dues, you know, you've put other stars over. Maybe we give it in. But once again, I hope I'm wrong. I hope that they do it in a rematch. If you want her to lose it at WrestleMania Backlash or, you know, Money in the Bank later on, fine, cool. But WrestleMania, like I said, let Bianca get that win to put her over Asuka. The match should be 5-star. The buildup, as you mentioned, has been less than, it's been underwhelming. And just this little weeks. And once again, it's really because Asuka's really limited with what she could say on the mic and what she's going to just spit green mist every week. Like, it's not much that can be said there. But in the ring, they're going to do their talking, and you're going to say, man, I got, whether it was on pay-per-view, whether it was in person, whether it was at a bar, you've got to see one of the greatest, just one of the greatest matches that WrestleMania has ever seen.
Craig, I think out of the entire card, this might be the best wrestling match that we see out of any of these matches. I'm not a huge fan of a 365-day champion, but if that's Bianca, so be it. I would love to see her promos mixed up a little bit more. I think she's done the same promo for about 2.5 years now. But for
them fighting words, Ray.
Yeah. But as far as Asuka goes, you know, she's been champion 3 times. She's been good champion, but it's hard to really sell her because of the language barrier thing. But it's so much easier to do with Bianca. So this one's pretty much a toss up. I do think Asuka wins it, but it wouldn't shock me.
Okay.
Although it's better on Bianca.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Although I don't know who you would feud Asuka with immediately. Probably whoever loses in the Charlotte Flair Rhea Ripley match.
Yeah, her and Rhea would be, and we'll get to that, but I mean, her and Rhea would be good if that's the case. To me, Rhea would be good to anybody, but that's
anybody. Awesome.
Yeah. Phenomenal.
We have Seth freaking Rollins versus Logan Paul. Logan Paul, say what you will. I'll say what you want about him. I think he, if he hadn't come to wrestling, I would not know who he was outside of wrestling.
What?
So, but to his credit, when he's there, he cares. And he gives everything that he's got. You know, this is one of those, we talked about this a couple of years ago. After Bad Bunny, every celebrity that showed up had to actually show up. They couldn't mail it in anymore because of what he did at WrestleMania 37.
Right.
So now we've seen Logan Paul. We saw him last year. We saw him at the Rumble. We saw him at Crown Jewel against Roman Reigns in a match that should not have been as good as it was, but it was fucking awesome. So this should fucking tear the house down so far. Like, it should blow the roof off the place. Logan's doing a great job of being a heel. It's at this point in his career, it's really hard to boo Seth Rollins. Like, he's going to have to really try to make you do it. I think this should be a 5-star match. I also think that Logan Paul's going to win.
Yeah.
Ray?
Yeah. I mean, I'm conflicted because Seth Rollins is my favorite male wrestler on the roster.
Right.
I always want him to go over. Always. Like, it doesn't matter the situation. Like, I always want Seth to go over. But if, like I said, if we're building Logan Paul to be someone that's going to be a staple of the future, you know, it might make sense for him to get the one lucky punch and then at the end say, bye bye, bitch. Like that's been awesome. Once again, Seth has put over guys. Like, he's becoming a new Shawn in that regard. Whatever they want him to do, he puts guys over. So he put Cody over like 3 times last year. I mean, damn. I mean, but then again, he's got to a point where wins or losses don't hurt him. Fans are gonna fuck with Seth Rollins. Like I said, once again, I'm forever in his corner. I love what he brings to the table. The visionary theme music has won me over, because at first I was like, ah. But I mean, listen, the whole crowd is just serenaded with the whoa. Like, I was there a few weeks ago, like the crowd, the commercial, whatever, like it was just singing. So they didn't have to cue nobody to sing nothing. Like, the crowd was just doing it even when he wasn't on camera in the ring. So yeah, this is gonna be one of my favorite matches of the night. To me, this could have opened too. Maybe I would open night 2 with this, actually. Yeah. I would open night 2 with this.
No, because I put this match on after a stinker.
No, I know people said, like, Seth deserves to be open up close.
He does. But
yeah, I mean, what, you could put him at the one of the Fatal 4 Way?
I don't know.
I mean, you did. You won.
I'm going to put this match on after one of those matches that inevitably during WrestleMania card puts the mat, you know, people running off to the bathroom to go take a wee.
The only match, not to take away from this, but the only match that I could foresee being a stinker, if Sasha and Naomi are not in there, is that is the Women's Fatal 4-Way Showcase.
I don't know. I see one on there that could be a total sneaker.
No.
Besides that one.
Take the stop. No.
Okay.
No.
Or, I mean, do you put them after the, you put them after Brock and Omos?
No.
No.
I really do think, like, to get night 2, cause, I mean, like I said, I was there for both nights last year. Like, I feel like, you know, you got to do something that's going to get, like, I mean, last year they opened with Triple H retiring. So, I don't know that was coming on camera right now, but.
It was okay.
Like, so you got to get something that's gonna, like, I spilled a chicken tender on the way back when I heard Triple H's music. So, so you owe me a tender, Hunter. You know, I always love seeing his entrance. So, but yeah, I'd open with Seth. Like, I just think, you know, you start the show with a bang, and he's earned that. He delivers when he opens. Just look at 34 when he won it in New Orleans, when he got the Grand Slam for the Intercontinental title, and then when he opened him against Brock, like, he delivers. So I'd open with him night 2, if possible.
Craig? You know, so many people have complained about this match because they're so tired of seeing celebrities in matches at WrestleManias, and I have to keep reminding them that celebrities in WrestleMania matches is just as American as apple pie, because this has been it since the inception of WrestleMania. There have been celebrity matchups, whether it's Mr. T, whether it's Cindy Crawford for some reason, or Snooki, or Maria Menounos, then actual good ones come up, like Bad Bunny years ago.
And Cindy Lauper. Cindy Lauper.
That's what I said.
You said Cindy.
What did you say about Cindy Crawford?
Oh, no.
Crawford.
I think I'm...
And I was like, wait, what video she was saying?
I think I combined in my head Cindy Crawford and Maria Menounos. Somehow that... Anyway.
It's fine.
Logan Paul loves this stuff, and you know, if they bring these guys in now and they can't wrestle, then I get all this. But I know Bad Bunny put his, you know, was in the performance center like 3 days a week prepping for his match a couple of years ago. And Logan Paul, you just look at what he's done at Crown Jewel, Royal Rumble, Elimination Chamber when he was in there.
Year's Mania with The Miz.
That too,
yeah. So I feel like, but he may be looking to actually be in there full time. So I just think, yeah, why not see what the character can become? You know, once again, you need fresh new talent, and you know, it can't just be the same old guys. Once again, you got to bring in new guys. You got to put new guys over. Da, da, da. Okay, well, this is that moment to showcase the talent. Like I said, I just once again, I'm always going to want Seth to go over. So
sure.
I'm
right. There is such good on-screen chemistry, and I'm not sure if it's, you know, some of these lately have been like, these guys really hate each other. And if they do in this match, I don't know if they actually do, but this has the potential to be one of those real burn the house down, pun intended, kind of matches.
Yeah. Seth might. I mean, like I said, that promo that he did on the live was like, he was like, oh, is that a shoe? Of course it's a fucking shoe. Like, He got on there. Well, it was like, he's like, yo, like, hey, you're an outsider. I'm not a fan.
I think there's this the old saying, don't work yourself into a shoot. Yeah. I think that Seth and Logan have shot themselves into a work, because I can actually see Seth like going into this and now thinking, all right, well, he's showing up, he's here. And then after what he does in the ring, and say, okay, well, he cares. He's not just because he's not just he's showing up for big shows. But again, Crown Jewel, if somebody walks up to you and says, hey, you know, the Crown Prince wants to pay you $5 million to wrestle, you going to do it? Sean did it. What? I mean, so why can't Logan Paul do it? Right?
Yeah, that's true.
I think that when Craig said that there was going to be a stinker, I think this next match, it's not in the order of prioritization for me. I just feel it. We have Damage Control versus Becky Lynch versus Becky Lynch, Lita, and
Trish Stratus. Wait, this is the one that takes one
slot? What's that? No, I thought.
I was like, great. You think this is one? What?
No. I don't think this, actually.
Oh, I'm like, no way.
That only leads me to believe that he thinks the IC match is going to suck. But, okay, good. So we have Becky Lynch and the women's tag team champions, Trish Stratus and the women's tag team champions, Becky Lynch and Lita versus Damage Control. This has been a dream match of Bayley since she was a child. For all of those that are shitting on Lita's Raw performance from a few weeks ago, I just wouldn't worry about her, because if you look at the match she had in Saudi Arabia against Becky Lynch last year,
she
delivered. Can still do it. Trish Stratus, she is the Shawn Michaels of the women. It's like riding a fucking bike for her. Whatever she wants to, she can just have a great match. I think that I think people are shitting on it before it. I think this match could be really awesome if it's given time. I would have Becky, Trish, and Lita win this match because I think that the damage has already been done. No pun intended. Damage has already been done to Damage Control. And maybe this could lead to a split up of the three of them and actually get some of them over. Ray, are you excited for this match? Who do you want to win? Is it going to be a good match?
So, yeah, that's why I was so strong when I heard. I was going to be hurt if Craig thought this was going to be a bad match. You know, these four out of six are, you know, four of the greatest women to ever do this. And there's no shade to the other two are Damage Control, but I mean, Bayley is Bayley, and obviously Trish, Lita, and Becky, you know, are, well, two are Hall of Famers. You know, the other two are future Hall of Famers. I think this is going to be a phenomenal match. Once again, I'd get them 15 minutes, roughly. I agree with you with Trish Stratus. Like, you go back and look at the match he had, I think it was a SummerSlam 19 against
Charlotte.
Like, you believe that she could win that night. Right. We knew that Charlotte was going to eventually go over, but she took you for a ride, and not just with the Stratus faction, but she took you for a ride. And he was like, oh, man, like, damn, like, she's still, you know, Trish is still rocking. You wanted to hear that, you know, sign of rock and roll. Like, you wanted to hear that one more time. So, yeah, I'm excited. Like I said, I never, you know, it was cool to see them a few weeks ago, but I never got to see them, our lead alive. But, yeah, they're going to deliver. And I think that I agree with you about who should go over. I think that Bayley should turn on the other two of Damage Control, you know, right away. I want to see Bayley back in the picture. I feel like she was a good champion. I'm probably in the minority that wants to see the hugger gimmick come back. I love, mainly because she gave me, listen, she gave the greatest, or she was one half of the greatest women's match I've seen outside of
before.
Listen, TakeOver 2015 in Brooklyn, and I'll say this every show I'm on, it doesn't matter. You can do the clip over and over again. Probably say, and I'm just in a different uniform. That is the greatest match I've ever seen. Like, it was unbelievable. I mean, that 30-minute match, they talk about taking on a ride. I mean, the belly to belly, one, two, it was beautiful storytelling from beginning to end. So, yeah, I want to see her back in that picture because she can give those type of matches. So, yeah,
Craig, I believe that, you know, I think Lita and Trish are treated unfairly in the sense that, you know, they were the pinnacle of the divas back in the day. And everyone looked at them as they were like the two hottest, you know, females on the roster. Now, every time that they come back, it's like, well, why do you bring them back? But nobody cares about bringing Goldberg back at 54. Nobody cares about bringing Shawn back when he Crown Jewel in Saudi Arabia, or Taker. They always lust for these guys. But Trish and Lita are 47 years old each. Number one, they don't fucking look it. Number two, they can still go. So What do you have to, what do you have to say about this match? Will we be pleasantly surprised by the outcome?
I think you will. Everyone in this match still has a ton left in the tank. And I'm talking specifically, obviously, about Trish and Lita. Thing, if I had to guess, based on what I've read, yes, I'm a dirt sheet reader. You'll see Damage Control come over there, and you'll see this will set up down the road one of the most anticipated rematches that you've wanted in a very, very long time. I'm sure the match itself is going to be good, but I think the ending is going to be what you're really going to be looking out for. It's a shame this match isn't for the title either.
It'll be tough to do that. Yeah, the free bird rule.
Correct.
So, I mean, the new day rule, which they could do. If you're alluding to Trish turning on them, and then it's Trish versus Lita, I'm going to be bullshit.
Really?
Yes. Because I think that Trish and Lita at 47 are great compliments. They should never main event it again. But I don't want to see that. Just like I would not want to see. I was never one of the guys that wanted to see Goldberg versus Taker in Saudi Arabia.
Had no idea.
Right? Like, they're good compliments. Elevate other people. They don't need to do it themselves. Rey Mysterio versus his son Dominic. Prison Dom. I gotta tell you, I love what he's done since joining the Judgment Day. I think that his character work is awesome. I think that the fact that he was for like 6 hours and he comes out talking about his time in jail and in the yard, it's fucking hysterical. And they did such a good job with this. And Ray saying that he would never fight his son. It was just like Bret and Owen back in 93 leading up to WrestleMania 10. I'll never fight my family. And when he told his mother to shut up on SmackDown, Ray comes over and knocks him on his ass. Like, this should deliver. And I know that Ray's going into the Hall of Fame. Ray absolutely deserves it. Dom deserves to win this match, in my opinion. Dom should go over. Craig, do you agree or disagree?
Before I tell you, did you know that Rey Mysterio has never been a heel? Ever.
Well, how could you boo him?
You can boo anybody. I believe you can boo anybody, but he's never been a heel in anything he's ever done.
Right, so he was not a heel in WCW? Not even what else? What's the dude's name? Conan?
No, I mean, really? He's 5'9". He's undersized. He's always the underdog. How do you make him the heel? And he doesn't cheat.
Right.
I think he could have done something, but that's just a little interesting factoid that I found interesting. In terms of what I was talking about earlier for the stinker potential, this is the one.
No fucking way.
Yeah, I think this could be really bad.
No.
This is going to be really bad.
Listen, Craig, think about it this way. They've had this match 1,000 times already. We just haven't seen it.
But not in front of 40,000 people.
60. When's the last time they had a terrible match?
He said to carry a lot of people.
Sure. When's the last time? Have you ever seen a bad Dominic Mysterio match? Because I haven't.
Really?
Name one.
I don't know all those matches off the top of my head. I just think this is
like 12.
Exactly. So, you know, this should be good, but I think this has the potential to be an absolute cluster.
Yeah.
But they have built this phenomenally since, like, October. The build has been great. I'm not knocking that. I just don't think it's going to be a great wrestling match.
No, I mean it depends on what Ray
wants. Also, we talked about this last year, that this match would happen eventually.
Did?
Yes. Oh, we did, yeah. So we definitely foresaw. It mostly had to happen, but it had to be Dominic turning the heel. Like, it couldn't it couldn't be him being the face, obviously. So that's why it has worked. But I want to give my boy Kim credit for this, because he talked to me about this, because he's excited about this particular match. And he said to me, he said, what if Eddie Guerrero's theme hit?
That'd be good.
And Vicky Guerrero came out to be the special ref and said, you you always were my son. I love you. That would be the icing on the cake, in my opinion, honestly. Like, you know, she goes like, excuse me.
Yeah, I mean, when he said, I wish
Eddie, the ref.
I wish Eddie was my father. Needed that.
That was so good.
Needed that.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal. So I, to me, that would be the icing on the cake. Like, have her come out. She'd be the special ref. You know, they screw Ray. Dom goes over. And that's the end.
You kind of figure Rhea needs to be involved in this, don't you?
No.
I think they're going to separate. Just Vicky.
Yeah.
Yeah, just
I don't think you're going to see that.
I mean, listen, or like Aaliyah, she could do it because she already branched out from them once when she was going after Buddy Murphy, who's the real life boyfriend of Rhea Ripley, who was the fake girlfriend of Dominic Mysterio. Which is, you know, subtlety in storylines.
Who's your mommy, right?
Speaking of that, we just have to transition right to that. Charlotte Flair versus Rhea Ripley.
I'm not excited.
If Charlotte wins, I'm going to be fucking livid because it is mommy time. It is Rhea Ripley's time to shine. She has it all. She can talk. She's badass hot. I mean, my wife even said she's hot. And she can work. So Charlotte is a perfect opponent for her because nobody likes Charlotte. So she's the face in this, but she's getting booed. So let Rhea transition from being the heel to the face, the badass face everyone wants her to be. It should be Rhea Ripley going over in this match. Ray, tell me that you agree with me that we can just move on.
No, I do, but I can't say I'm super excited because I feel like they're not going to give us what we want. That's why I'm not excited. I feel like they're going to still play us and still push Charlotte over, which is fucking ridiculous, right?
Rhea's been full play people at WrestleMania.
No, we know, but I'm just prepared for it. But this is the thing, we're just 3 years in the making. I felt that my thing is you better give Rhea her moment because you should have gave it to her at 36.
Thank you.
I think she would have gotten it had there been a crowd. I think it was like, you know what? It's in the PC. Let's just keep it with Charlotte. They can boo her on TV. You know, we'll just leave it like that. But it's 3 years in the making. This is, like you said, it's her time. Like, it's her time. Do the right thing, Hunter. Do what's best for business. All you had to do was shake my hand. So you had to do, you know? So it'd be great to do it like how Sheamus did it. And, you know, just give it like the riptide.
If this is a 10-second squash match.
Just like how Becky did Bianca, that'd be great. That would be perfect. Whoa,
that would be great.
That'd be so good. So good. So good.
Craig, this match would be a total makeup for that unfortunate cluster that happened 3 years ago. And this should, you know, Rhea is the top woman right now in WWE. I don't care what anybody says. She's the top woman, if not one of the top acts. Adding her to the Judgment Day was the best thing that's happened for her career. She fit in flawlessly. And this should be Rhea Ripley all over this match. Like, I love Charlotte. She'll be around. It's not going to be one of those times where she loses and then disappears for 3 months. But this is Rhea Ripley's match.
Thank you, Edge, for lobbying to put Rhea Ripley in the Judgment Day because it saved her career.
Absolutely.
Saved it. Speaking of Edge, our superstar versus Demon, we think, Finn Balor, in a Hell in a Cell match. The first Hell in a Cell match since Shane and Taker at 32. And I think it's great that this is no longer just a gimmick pay-per-view match. Like you said, Ray, this actually fucking means something again. This should tear it down. I think this is going to be Edge's final Mania in his run. He has said that he wants to end his career in Toronto. I think one of the big pay-per-views is going to be in Toronto this year. So I think this might be it for Edge. I think Finn Balor needs to win this match, but I still want to see Edge win it.
Yeah.
So Ray, what about you?
Yeah, I'm in the same. I think that obviously if you're continuing to build the Judgment Day as a heel, so with Priest and obviously with Rhea and Dom, overall they need this. Like, it needs to be a Judgment Day type of night. I actually think it's ironic because I think that Damian Priest, to me, could be the new Edge eventually if given that type of build. Yeah, it was awesome to see Edge come back a few years ago at the Royal Rumble and then what he'd be able to do. he's still clearly is was on top of his game. It was the greatest match ever. It was him and Randy at Backlash. Like that was and I'm not joking when I say like that was a top 10 match I've seen. Like PC or not. Like that was crazy what stuff they were doing in that performance center. So where Finn's at right now, once again, he deserves a moment as well. I love Finn Balor's character regardless of what he's doing. I think that he's been great in WWE from NXT to what he's done now. So yeah, give him the victory. But once again, I wouldn't be hurt if, you know, I hear, you know, Edge's music at the end of that match. Like it would be phenomenal. But to your point about him retiring in Toronto, what about, I feel like Cena should retire him.
He's going to put somebody over.
Yeah.
I know, but you don't think Cena should retire him?
I think Edge is such a master of this business that he wants his exit to mean something. Yeah. Well, he wants to elevate, not for him, for the person that beats him. So I think he has to.
I like what Kurt Angle did with Corbin.
Right. Sure.
I mean, I was pissed about that. I was like,
it didn't help Corbin at all.
No, it didn't.
Yeah.
It but did. That's kinda what I'm saying. So who's to say it's going to help this person? Let it be Cena. He was your greatest rivalry. Hell, Andy did a fucking show about it. So he is your greatest rival. Let Cena put you to rest.
Look, here's what I know.
We know, Craig.
A couple of things. I know that Triple H's biggest reclamation project since he's taken over has not been any of the guys that he's brought back since he's been head of creative. Not been any of these guys have been there. It's been Finn Balor. For over a year, he's been the greatest reclamation product Triple H has been working on. That's why he brought him back down to NXT so he could run rampant back there, eventually get him back up on the roster. And this is going to be the start of that because I just think that how long do you think the Judgment Day ends at WrestleMania?
I think Rhea's involvement in the Judgment Day ends at WrestleMania. So okay. Then, yes, I think it's over.
Yeah, because, you know, if Rhea's not there, who really cares about Judgment Day at that point, right? So I do think Finn Balor wins. I think Finn Balor is going to have a huge 2023. I just think it needs to be away from the Judgment Day. I think he needs to go back to the Prince or whatever he is. He needs to be Finn Balor again. And I think Finn wins this match. And it's going to be a mess. It's going to be a lot of pain for both of these guys, but Finn pins him at the end or submits him or whatever.
For the Intercontinental Championship, we have Gunther versus Drew McIntyre versus Sheamus. All I know is this is going to be a fucking slobber knocker, like JR used to say. I don't know if it's pretty. I do know it's going to be brutal. I think that that this is a match that the Intercontinental title deserves, although the title is disgustingly ugly. They should go back to the old version of the title, any of the old versions of the title. But
I don't like this one. But listen, out of here,
I don't want Gunther to lose. I absolutely love him. I think he is a callback to the old school wrestlers, but he can do everything the new school can. And I thought, you know, he was brought up and he was put to the top when Vince was still in charge. And I have to give Vince credit. He is not a great talker. Like, listen. Cesaro was damned for the same things that Gunther has. Weird accent, is a great wrestler. Maybe Vince learns from his mistakes. I think I cannot wait to see this match, but I want Gunther to go over. Ray, what are your thoughts on this triple threat?
So first I want to put out there, I'm a Drew guy. love Drew McIntyre. Love seeing him back in the main event picture. But until then, I wouldn't mind seeing an IC title around his waist. He had a great run during the PC era. Had a great run. He deserves a run in front of the crowd one more time, in my opinion. Yeah, what Walter, Gunther, whoever has done.
Gunther.
Gunther.
All right. That's my accent. So he's been great. He's been great. Him and Imperium have been awesome. You know, I know he's had a very long run with this IC title.
Yeah, how many days? Longest ever.
Yeah, long.
No, not yet.
No,
not yet.
He made it.
Oh, he made it. Okay,
made it last week.
No. He beat one of Honky Tonk's reigns, not the longest Honky Tonk reign.
Oh my gosh. Gotcha. Yeah. So I mean, so you think about Hardy Sonny Man, you think about Jericho, you think about Miz, even, you know, Dolph Ziggler's, like, there are a lot of guys that have been, Pat Patterson, obviously, has been
Shawn Michaels.
Shawn Michaels, a great IC champion. Like, again, this used to be the title that once it was on your waist, you know, you would be skyrocketed to the moon. So this, and I think Craig will agree with this when I say this, this is who should have been facing Brock.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So.
I still think that'll happen, by the way.
Right, but I'm like, you could have did that at WrestleMania. Like, you could have did that at WrestleMania where it would have been set up to say, like, you know, that I think that to me would have been a much better setup, I think. And then once again, if you want to do a Moss at, like, Money in the Bank or, like, SummerSlam, maybe that would have worked. But that's just my personal thing. Who knows? Maybe it can happen next year. Who knows? Maybe, Gunther eliminates Brock Lesnar next year and he faces him at WrestleMania 40. Who knows?
SummerSlam at Ford Field isn't a bad spot to...
I'll be there. I'll be there. I'm going. I'm going. So that would be awesome to see. But yeah, once again, personally, as a fan, want you to go over. But once again, if you're gonna keep the reign going, then once again, can't be mad at that either.
Right.
All right. Final team matches of the night. Blood. What? I didn't get to speak.
You didn't?
No.
Oh.
Remember? Rewind. Let me tell you something about this match right here between Gunther, Drew McIntyre, and Sheamus. The match is predetermined. Gunther will win.
They're all predetermined. They're all predetermined.
Well, you know what I mean. Fast forward, we all know Gunther's going to win, right? If this match does not end with Sheamus, Drew McIntyre, whoever those other two guys are, if they don't come out with their chests looking like hamburger meat, this match will be an utter failure.
Well, I mean, triple threat means that there's no rules. So I expect to be a table, maybe a chair.
All I care is that everyone gets slapped in the chest about 20 times.
Nice.
Mm. Oh,
nice.
Mm. Well,
I'm so glad we rewound for that.
We wound.
Last two matches of WrestleMania weekend, they follow a significant theme. They are the ones. Mm-hmm. We have The first match is the tag team match, the Undisputed WWE Tag Team Championship. The Usos versus Sami Zayn and KO. I mean, this is one of those odd spots where a tag match is probably top three match on the entire WrestleMania card. It doesn't happen all the time. It doesn't happen ever. This match should, the storyline alone, has given this match so much legs. I love what they did with Sami and KO. I love when Sami, hit a blow of the belt at War Games in Boston. They built this thing perfectly. I think those belts off of the Usos, and it's the first title to leave the bloodline at WrestleMania. Craig, what do you think?
I actually have to give a lot of credit to Triple H on this match. This feud has gone perfectly on schedule. Everything has happened the way it should be, even though the temptations were there the entire time. I don't think a single person, not a one, would thought that Sami Zayn would have exploded and gotten over as much as he did. They had so many chances to go to alterations and change this match and change this, you know, rolled WrestleMania up involving Sami Zayn more. But it stayed the entire way. We all kind of felt it was going to end up here, and it has. The Usos versus Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. You know, obviously, Sami Zayn was the MVP of the last year. I think we all agree on that.
Probably
it's close to it. And this match is ending up exactly where it should. It should. It won't. But it should. Headline night one. Won't. This is going to be a hell of a battle between these four. And I'm looking forward to every single bit of it. Do I think Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens are going to win it? Yeah, but they're going to bleed for it. That's what I'm thinking.
Love that. Right.
Yeah.
Also, night one, I think, is the main event for Charlotte and Rhea Ripley.
That needs to be a co-main event then. Sorry.
I think it's going to be, I think
I think main event night one.
Yeah, there has to be a co-main event. Like
hell, it's gonna be Hell in a Cell.
It's like just like 18. Like I'm sorry. Like you can't. No, that this is like you just said this is the hardest story in wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Got to put them on last. You have to. Like they deserve to be on last. This is not about politics. It's not about who's like fuck that. This for the last 9 months. Excuse me. We've seen a masterpiece or a masterclass of storytelling. Like this was Attitude Era of Ruthless Aggression type storytelling. It was beautiful, and the payoff to me is going to be just as beautiful when you hear, you know, da-na-na-na. Like you're going to hear Kevin Owens 1, 2, 3, and you know it's just like once again the Usos have had a great reign, but you know it's time. It's time for a change. And yeah, this I want this to be a 35-minute match.
Same.
Like easily. I wanted to continue to take us on a ride. I even wanted it to be a point where, you know,
Open night two of it then.
Right, exactly. Yeah, either one. Jay, you know, has a chance to super kick him and he's still trying to conflict it. Because Sammy's like, bro, like you love me. You're gonna super kick me or whatever. And then he misses the hit and hits Jimmy. Like, there's so many ways they can go within the match and still tell the story. Like, it would be beautiful. But yeah, your new at the end of night one or whatever, your new unified tag team champions, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens.
Love it, love it. Which leads us to the main event: the American Nightmare versus the head of the table, the tribal chief, the man that is in God mode, Roman Reigns. I think Roman Reigns has done everything that we thought he could have done 10 years ago. I'm glad he got the chance to do it because he has been absolutely phenomenal in this role. I love the entire storytelling of the Bloodline. I think that they built it up to a point where they will get a good enough bump out of the fall of the Bloodline as well. Roman Reigns is undeniable. You can't boo him anymore. He's just there. But so, I mean, they put a jetpack on Cody Rhodes, and he deserves it. Absolutely deserves it. I think strip away everything that he did in AEW, even though Roman said he couldn't get over it, even though when he started his own company, which is a great fucking line, by the way. Love it. The run that he had with Rollins last year and what he did with that torn triceps was that just shows how much he cares about this business. And the fact that we knew he was coming back at the Royal Rumble and the fans still went fucking nuts when he won it means that he's over. He's to that point where he is that over. I think the only thing that makes sense is for Cody Rhodes to win and for the Bloodline to be stripped of all of their gold, which will be so much fun to watch unfold. I think this has a chance to be an amazing main event. Ray, I know that you're a Bloodline guy. I'm a Bloodline guy, but Cody, undeniable at this point.
No, it's his time. Like it's the promos he's been able to put on, the matches he's been able to put on, and his time back has been nothing short of amazing. And you know, I want to see a hard time site promo on April 3rd when he wins. You know, let me tell you about hard times, Daddy. Like that's what I want to see on April 3rd. I don't know who he signed to, but I would love. I hope that Goldust or his brother Dustin Rose is there. I hope he's there. We probably won't be. Man. Maybe he'd be. But it's just like, listen, especially they know he's winning, obviously. I know they know. So, like, he should be there. You know, I just think to me, yeah, he's due. And once again, like you said, for them to know he was number 30, to come out, you hear, you know, wrestling has more than one royal family. And, like, I was there when he came back last year. And, you know, people was going like, is it Cody? Is it Cody? And then, you know, you hear the lights go. Go down and you hear, you know, the wrestling has more than one royal family and people lost their minds. So yeah, like it's there for the taking. Let him fulfill the dream, so to speak, to win the WWE World Heavyweight Championship and, you know, go from there.
I agree. So I felt like at the beginning that I wasn't really sure about this whole thing with Cody. I wasn't really sure at the beginning before yell at me. because I kind of felt like it was just going to be forced down our throats like they've done for so many other things in the past. You know, Cody's coming back. He signed to a major deal for multi-years. Obviously, he's going to win the belt from Roman eventually. And he is. But probably. You know, probably.
Could be a swerve.
But I don't think so. He's proved me wrong. He's proved me wrong. I thought that he would just kind of glide into WrestleMania. He'd get over on basic promos and stuff like that. But no. Once that Hell in a Cell match happened and he fought with one arm, that's a man. That's the man.
Also, like that promo with him and Paul.
Yep.
Paul got him over again. I mean, that was incredible. You were Dusty's favorite son, but Roman was the son that Dusty always wanted.
I mean, what a line. What a line.
By the way.
I was pissed for Cody in that moment.
Yeah, by the way, totally improv'd. Amazing.
Right. Might be true. Also, I doubt it.
I guarantee it was true.
But like the way that Heyman has done such a good job with Roman, every single one of his opponents. Heyman's gotten the opponents over more than Roman has. Now, Roman always delivers in the match, always. But leading up to it, it's like, just let Paul go.
Yeah.
He's going to make it. Like, he will, the old thing, like, just draw me money. That's what Vince always used to say, draw me money. Paul's done it again and again.
Yeah, because, my favorite Heyman promo was the ECW one before the Invasion.
Invasion, Survivor Series.
Yeah, this surpassed that for me when I saw it. This is, and maybe it's recency bias, but I said, wow. And he's had some great ones. You know, the Matt Freaking Hardy one is up there. You know, the pipe bomb in Chicago when they thought Punk, like, he's done it all. But I was like, this, the emotion that he evoked out of not just me, but everybody that was watching was second to none. And I'm sure there's a part of him, like I said, because he knew that's today. He's like, you know, probably even wants to see Cody probably win this one. And I say he's playing it to a T. But yeah, that's one of the best promos I've ever seen. And I was like, wow, this guy continuously delivers regardless of who's in front of him.
All right, so here's the thing. There's three of us, so we can't come to a consensus with the top five worst matches of all time. So we each get two picks, each of us, unless they overlap. Okay. So it's been a pretty positive show, but to end it, we want to end it with a little negativity. So WrestleMania has been home to some of the biggest moments, the biggest names, the brightest lights, the best matches. But there have been some colossal fucking matches that should have never seen the light of day. Craig, what is your first worst match in WrestleMania history?
I'm going to give you a curveball and a one that I guarantee neither one of you have. Jerry Lawler versus Michael Cole, WrestleMania 27.
That was what awful.
Shit show that was.
Yeah, I remember
that.
Oh,
my God, that was so bad.
The best part about that, though, was Austin was a special guest referee.
Sure.
And that meant that JR got to be our commentary.
Correct.
Right.
Also, it was nice to see the setup before that when it was, you know, Michael Cole brought out JBL. We thought it was going to be JBL because they was going to be like, hey, a Texas legend and stuff like that. Here comes JBL. Here comes Austin, stunts him. Everybody's happy.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That was a truly fucking putrid match.
It sure was.
Ray?
Gonna go with Mark Henry versus Ryback at WrestleMania 29. Well, so just, you know, we talked about this before the show.
It was so bad,
but it's just like, you know, I think about Big E. You want to see a 5-star classic? Not me. I want to see two men bumping me. But I'm sorry. As I die over here. But it was like that match was just terrible. And I mean, you could have went Jericho for an angle on this one. There's a few matches on that card. You could have been like, it was god awful. But that one just sticks out to me. Kind of like, I like Mark Henry. I even like Ryback to a little bit to an extent, but I was like, man, that those two together, it was not a good story being told outside of like, oh, who's stronger, who's this, but it was a very, very forgettable match, and it was definitely a throwaway. Like it was garbage.
Mine is Ultimate Warrior versus Triple H at WrestleMania 12. This is one of those instances where Vince should have never called the Warrior back. I get it. The people loved him. I don't know why. He was lighting in the bottle, but he was a bad wrestler when he was in his prime. And in 1996, he was not in his prime. And the fact that he goes out there and has a 2-minute match with one of your up-and-comers, the person at this point who was supposed to win the King of the Ring in 1996, Triple H, and you had him deliver what no one had kicked out of, the pedigree to the Warrior in the middle of the ring, and he gets up and no-sells it. It was awful, 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 awful. So that is my first pick of the worst match in WrestleMania history. All right, Ray, here's your last pick. What is what you would consider the worst match in WrestleMania history?
And this hurts because I'm a fan, but Booker T and Triple H.
No, you don't believe that.
I do. I didn't like the story that was told behind it. I didn't like the story that was told behind it. And maybe I'm saying it worse because Booker didn't get put over. Maybe I'm saying that.
Not only did he not get put over, but he took a pedigree and took 35 seconds to be covered and still did not kick out.
Yeah, like ridiculous. So I didn't like the story behind that whole setup at that time. And yeah, I didn't think it was that great of a match. I didn't. And like I said, maybe it's because, I mean, obviously it was a Steiner Triple H. It wasn't that bad. Obviously, because Booker T was a great in-ring performer, but that match didn't do anything for me. One, because of the result, and then, like I said, just the story that was being told.
All right, Craig, your worst match in WrestleMania history.
So we talked about this. We were going to do our top five, but obviously we're crunched for time, and we are going to agree on a lot of these. So I would say I had kind of 5.5 on mine. Here's the half, and it's a big half. Roman Reigns in WrestleMania 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, and 38. Just shows every single one of
you
them.
You thought last year was a bad Roman Reigns match?
Was that the Brock Lesnar one?
Yes.
He had a few Brock, but...
Yes.
31 was bad, though?
Yeah, I thought so.
If Rollins comes out, it ends up winning?
Yeah, I thought they were all bad.
I'd give it 101. The 132 wasn't great, but 31 was good. 34 was pretty bad, though. But
I didn't like the spoon feeding.
Got you. Okay. I'm just like, hey, 31 will always be remembered, mainly for the ending, obviously.
Right. It's just like, here's Roman Reigns. You're going to watch him for the next 20 years. Deal with it.
I mean, we are, though.
Yeah, I know.
And we're here for it.
We're here for it now.
Can we at least all agree on the Roman Reigns versus Undertaker one?
Yeah, but that wasn't Roman's fault.
That was
the Undertaker's fault. We all know that.
Right.
I was there. Yeah, I was just like, I mean, fans were stunned. I was there. That was my first one I went to. Like, fans were stunned because it was like 1 a.m. And I'm like, we couldn't believe. People were literally sat there for like 20 minutes and was like, I can't believe I just saw what I saw. Like, what just happened? And I'm like, I said, it might be a wrap. He might be done. And then we see him next year.
If I had to pick like a solo one, not like a collective, Baron Corbin versus Kurt Angle.
Yeah,
that was bad. Yeah, man. Only because of the significance of that match.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, now that's what I'm saying. So that goes back to what I said about the edge thing. Like, don't put it on someone that can't deliver in that final match.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so
I'm excited for this one.
So I think that the fan favorite worst WrestleMania match of all time also aligns with me, but that's a cop-out. So normally people would say Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 20 when at Madison Square Garden, when the fans turned on both of them, they were cheering Austin as the referee. Like it should have been a classic, and it was absolutely terrible.
Yep.
You'd say it means everyone knew they were leaving.
Right.
Sure. They could have still put on a good match and earned their respect one more time. So that's easy. Mine is Undertaker versus Bossman at WrestleMania 15, Hell in a Cell. Because, by the way, that is the best Undertaker entrance of all time.
Sure was. He
came in. I mean, he looked like an evil fucking Batman. And there was a good story there. But the match was just terrible. It was too short. Nobody remembers what happened in the match aside from the ending of the match, Big Boss Man being hung as the cell went up. Right. It was an unforgettable match, it was a forgettable match, which should be noted, and this is not an indictment on Taker until the end of his career. Taker has had some stinkers at Mania, and they're not his fault, but Taker versus Big Show and A-Train in WrestleMania 19. Bad, trash, right? We talked about that. Taker versus Giant Gonzalez at WrestleMania 9.
Of course, classic.
Bad. Versus King Kong Bundy at WrestleMania 11.
Sure.
Right. Bad.
But I want to go back to 15 for a second, right? Because I think about that year, Boston was a really good heel. And
it was a face.
Right. But I'm thinking about, I think it's funny that his most memorable story is with the Big Show. You know, woo, it's Big Show. It's Big Daddy.
Oh, yeah.
It's Daddy. Like, that was, and I remember, like, I'm like, that. Like I remember being pissed. Like, so I felt like they missed an opportunity with that. But like you said, if you remember him being taken away. I mean, yeah, of course, listen, the Ministry of Darkness theme, like just unreal. Like just, oh, so good. Like, prepare to be sacrificed. Like it was great. It was great. Scary as hell, but it was great.
Let me tell you something. 10-year-old Craig was terrified of 1997 and 1999.
Yeah, I was like, wow. So, yeah.
That was peak holy shit scary Taker.
There's only two things. I think you're going to laugh at this or be disgusted. There's only two things in the history of the WWE era that ever really, like, legitimately scared me. Number one was the Midian sacrificing, if you remember that.
And, oh, I do.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. And number two, Val Venus getting his penis chopped off at the end of a Raw.
Choppy, choppy.
Choppy, choppy.
Guy and tie.
I'm actually surprised you didn't go with the Sisky angle.
Dude, and a man getting his penis chopped off by a samurai sword? Terrifying.
It's awful. Well, thank you all for joining us on this edition of
Would It Ended
Critics. I mean, you really can't go anywhere from there. Please go out there and enjoy WrestleMania. Saturday, Sunday should be a loaded event. We'll do some more Kayfabe Critics coming up. But until then, for Hollywood Rayshon Buchanan and Craig D'Alessandro, this is Michael Markangelo saying we'll talk to you later.
Today is working for me. Do you believe that for yourself? Hey, I'm Pastor Julie, and I want to empower you through encouragement, inviting you to my podcast, Big Truth Encouragement, where I unpack living a faith-filled life. I created my podcast for the ladies, but gentlemen, you'll gain something too. So I invite you to listen to Big Truth Encouragement on Electricast and any platform where you listen to your podcast. Electricast.
Welcome to Tuning Into Sound Wellbeing, where we harmonize your mind, body, and soul. I'm Amanda, your sound therapy expert.
And I'm Stephen, the curious explorer uncovering the mysteries of sound.
Together we explore vibrations, frequencies, and the power of sound therapy and tuning forks.
Discover ancient wisdom, reduce stress, and tune into a healthier life. Subscribe to Tuning Into Sound Wellbeing today. Electricast.